Amen. It is good to be here. This is my beautiful wife. Ek is verlore sonder haar. So, Lord is just at the pastor summit this week, we had an opportunity to share about marriage and and with all the pastors in our church family, and I just realized again how much God has used Sonica in my life to make me the man that I am today, and I am so thankful. She, after salvation, she is my biggest gift from heaven. Amen. Let's give her a hand. Okay. Quickly stand again. I'm a Acts chapter 2 fireman. I want fire. I like the presence of God. I love the presence of God. Just want you just to just open your hands just before you. Just want, before I minister, I want to minister from the presence of God, not from my own abilities and my own knowledge. Father, right now, God, we thank you that this venue can be your throne room. God, we pray that your presence would draw near to us right now. We know we can do nothing without your Holy Spirit. Nothing. We are lost without your Spirit, God. Come and shine upon our hearts. Come and awaken us. Right now, God. Just breathe upon us. Everything I say, God, will come from you, from your Spirit. Thank you for an anointing this day to break every yoke, every sickness, every unbelief, every distraction, every lie. Be gone. In Jesus' name, we welcome Jesus Christ, the healer. We welcome Jesus Christ, risen from the grave, seated at the right hand of the Father, reigning from heaven above. Jesus, you are worthy of all our praise. And we pray, God, that our hearts and our minds, our whole being would turn to you right now. And God, we say, let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come in us, in us, in us. Lord, right now, every pain in our bodies disappear. Every sickness be gone now. Let the presence of God just touch those areas. In Jesus' name. Lord, right now, any areas of darkness in our hearts and minds, be gone. Let the light of Christ shine. Right now. Right now. Let the kingdom of God come. We declare the kingdom is at hand. Now. Thank you, God, for downloads from heaven that every one of us would hear the voice of our Father. Father, speak. In Jesus' name. Just sense God's going to speak to us. God wants to speak to you personally, straight from heaven, in Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit, release life. In Jesus' name, let it be. Let's just say this prayer. Say, Father God, we are expectant of hearing your voice, of receiving a touch from heaven this morning. Speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. Just something I do as a habit, not every Sunday at our church, but especially when we are pursuing healing and we want God to reveal his fullness, then I just give a little bit of extra time just for getting into God's presence. So it is awesome om hier te wees. In East London, we only speak English. We only minister in English, so I can't preach in Afrikaans anymore. We just do English. Luke is happy. So quickly, some background. I've been in the ministry now for 15 years. I came to Christ in Stellenbosch as a student in 1996. Been married for, 16 plus years now. And, so I'm going to, this morning, I want to speak to you about the prophetic, but I'm going to share stories. I want to share stories of what God has done in my life to inspire you to trust God to hear His voice. I was just earlier this year, I preached this message, I think in March, in our church, and I preached it from a place of, wow, I can't believe it. God, you spoke and it came to pass. And you spoke and it came to pass. And you spoke and it came to pass. I am amazed. I am astounded at what you have done in our lives. And every time I share this, then the Lord tells me, but it's just the start. This is not it. You know, so I wanna encourage us in terms of a bit of our story, but that you would also hold on to the word of God, the prophetic word, to pursue the prophetic. So some quick background as well. Around 5 years ago, the Lord started a massive shift in our lives. First 10 years of ministry, I saw two people physically healed. And then in 2013, 14, 15, and a bit into 16, we saw around 1,200 people physically healed. Intestable, physically healed. I mean, the Lord rocked our lives just to see from two people in 10 years, we made a whole bunch of shifts, and now we're just seeing people getting healed all over. Cancers disappearing from people's bodies. They go to the doctors, it gets tested. I mean, this is not just make-believe, this is the real deal. In Brazil, people come with a wheelchair into the service and they push the wheelchair out. You know, our God is alive. He's powerful, you know, and I am not special. I'm a nobody, but we've made a few changes, and that's why I believe that this is available to the everybody and the anybody. If you are hungry enough, if you are hungry enough, if you will pursue God with everything in you, you will see His glory manifest. You see, every miracle is a manifestation of the glory of God, and it gives Him more glory. Amen. Would you want to give Jesus glory? Every miracle is bringing glory to Christ. Not to us, but to Him. So I'm trusting at the end this morning also to pray for some sick people. So if you've got sickness in your body, we're going to be trusting that the Lord would heal you. I was in Swakopmund a few weeks ago, and it was just amazing. Some of the miracles that happened and the way Jesus healed people with conditions 25 plus years. Conditions, continuous pain in their bodies, and yet Jesus touches them and they completely healed even weeks later. Met some of them at the Convergence Conference again. Yes, still healed. Praise God. Jesus heals. Amen. But God also still speaks. He speaks. He's still speaking. He's not a dead God. And He wants you and I need to hear His voice. So some years ago, I was student pastor at Shofar Tigerberg, Belleville area, and I was in a season of jogging. I then skipped around 15 years plus of jogging, and now I'm starting to, well, not 15, I said 10 plus years, and now starting to jog again. It's amazing what happens when you jog, and if you're available. You know, like recently, I was running, I think it was the first or second time I started to jog again, I was dead tired. I'm in 4Ks, and I'm dying. So I'm at the last bit, and one of my members, he stops me, he waves to me, or he drives with his car, and he calls me, and I turn around, and I can't breathe. I'm like, now he's telling me, would you quickly pray for the guy next to me in the car? I'm taking to the hospital now. He's got appendicitis. They're going to take out the appendix, and I'm like, I can't breathe, man. I'm dying here. So anyway, so I put my hand on the guy and I'm like, just praying. And suddenly I feel the presence of God. And then I, after a while of praying, healing, I go home. And then a few days later, this guy phones me and he says, do you know what happened? I said, no. Well, we took him to the hospital. They took him into the operating theater. And then something went wrong. So they had to abort the surgery. They took him back to his room. And then they were going to do the operation the next morning. Next morning when he got up, he was completely healed. There was like no, hallelujah, let's give Jesus a hand for that. Jesus heals. So even when you're jogging, you don't have to have a worship service before the time. It's just about just being ready to release God's healing presence. And so back to this jogging story 10 years ago. So I was just so hungry for God. So I was saying, Lord, I'm available. Come on, let's say it, I'm available. And so I went running, and it was like early evening, it was getting dark. And as I was running, I saw a vehicle parked next to the road. And I could see there's someone inside. I couldn't see if it's male or female. Anyway, so as I was running past, I heard the voice of God say to me, go back to that car, go tell that lady I love her. And I'm like, I'm stopping, I'm jogging on the spot. I'm like, oh, is that God? Is it me? Oh, should I? Oh, whatever. So I went back to the car. I came to this, there was the driving seat, person sitting in the driving seat. And I came to the window, I was just wanting to knock. And I saw it was a lady, and I saw the tears flowing as I came there. And I was like, hello, I want to say something. She was like, go away. She didn't want to turn down the window. But at some point, I just said to her, I was running past, I felt God say to you, to tell me to tell you he loves you. And next moment, she became silent. It's like she did not expect that. And then she started to bawl. She just really started to cry and cry and cry. And then I ran on. I did my job. I delivered the message. But I was just thinking afterwards, God, what was that woman, what was she going through? Was it a divorce? Was she at that moment crying out, Lord, speak to me. Are you with me? Do you love me? I don't know what she prayed, but I can only imagine. And as I was running past, the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, go and tell her, give her my answer. How many people do we walk past at work, in our neighborhoods, in the shop, and we're so focused on ourselves that we miss an opportunity to release the life of Christ? But I realized I had to pray before that. God, I'm available. Come on, let's say it again. I'm available. God doesn't speak to couch potatoes. Yes, they've got it. Yeah, they've got it. Eh? God speaks to those who are hungry and who are passionate about pursuing him. And I think if there's one thing that I've gotten right over the years is this. I was passionate about God. I was pursuing him. And if you're not now, you can be soon. At the end of this service, you can be on fire for Jesus. It's just a decision. Real life, real Christianity happens when we are on fire for the Messiah. You know, Christianity is boring otherwise. Huh? It's boring. You know, since we've been seeing these miracles and things happening, it has transformed our relationship with God. You know, I'm not trying to be a good person anymore. I'm just, God, I want more of you and I want to surrender more of myself to you. That's my mission. And the rest you will sort out as we go. But God is speaking. But do you know that the devil is also speaking? So what this, I want to leave you with this one liner today. The voice of evil breaks us down, but the voice of God gives us the breakthrough. The voice of evil breaks us down, but the voice of God gives us the breakthrough. Whatever you're facing, if you want a breakthrough, you need a word from God. You need to hear his voice. Beginning of this year, I felt the Lord say to me, if you want to move the mountain in front of you, you first need to move the mountain on the inside of you. How do you move the mountain on the inside of you? the voice of God. When He speaks, it changes things on the inside. It changes us. So God wants to, He wants to speak to us. He wants to speak to you. The voice of God brings freedom, but the voice of evil breaks us down. So this, and the enemy often speaks through people. The voice that accuses us. You know, the name of the devil is the accuser. So he's continuously accusing us, saying things about, you're not good enough. Who do you think you are? I mean, look around at the people in this church. They are so holy. What the heck are you doing here? You don't qualify. You're not good enough. Want to sort out your life? You must be joking. That's the voice of the evil one. That's the voice of the enemy. And he's continuously speaking to us, continuously breaking down. But the voice of God sets us free. He sets us free. So the enemy comes to distract us. So when we were in the UK about a year and a half ago, someone saw this vision of the bride of Christ, beautiful bride of Christ, and then she was looking at her Savior, looking at the glory of God, looking at who God is, and at some point she was distracted. She looked away from God, and the result was, in this vision, the bride lost her strength, and she found herself in a wheelchair. And I believe this is the bride of Christ. This is the church of Jesus Christ. We're not looking at God. We're not listening to His voice. We're listening to so many other voices, and we lose our strength and we find ourselves in a wheelchair, powerless, insecure, fearful, anxious. We don't know who we are. We don't know who we are until the voice of God comes and speaks to us. So I want to share a bit of my journey and what God has done in my life. But I've discovered that the voice of God brings healing to our souls. I'm passionate about healing, physical healing, healing on every level. But I know the power of when God speaks, He brings healing to our identities, to our souls. So we're going to trust at the end of this service this morning that the Lord will be speaking to us. You see, what happens is when you and I lose our destiny, a sense of our destiny and our identity, you and I become like a little ship on the ocean. You have no idea where you need to go to, and you have no capacity to get there. Like there's no wind in your sails, and you don't know which direction to go. Little boat on the oceans, and the storms are crashing in. When you don't hear the voice of God, when you don't know what you're destined to be and who you are destined to be, you're like that little boat on the ocean, and you being messed around. And that's what happened to me quite a few times in my life. So I want to read this verse just to give a bit of very simple. I'm not going to go very deep in terms of scripture today. Just want to share some stories. But 1 Corinthians 14:1, it says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. God does not give His gifts to those who are passive and like, oh, whatever. Lord, if you want to give it to me, you can give it. You need to want it. You need to desire the gifts. You know, we were moved to pursue healing because of the challenges my wife was going through. So I was pushed to a point like I needed to trust God for my family. I was desperate. Are you desperate? You know, if you want to really love people, pursue the prophetic. One of the greatest gifts we can give somebody is to release a prophetic word into a heart, into someone's life. What is a prophetic word? A prophetic word is to hear the voice of God, either for yourself or for others. And the prophetic reveals the Father's heart. Like that lady in the car, that was a love moment. That was the Father's heart. I love you. I am with you. That is the prophetic. And when it's a word from God, it rocks your world. Absolutely rocks your world. It might be simple, something small like God loves you, but it rocks your world. But he says, especially that you may prophesy. So we have found that the prophetic is the key to unlock all the other gifts of the Spirit. The prophetic is the key to unlock identities, destinies. I am so thankful for the voice of God. So thankful. I would not be here today if it wasn't for the voice of God, if it wasn't for the promises of God. You see, and one of the keys here is pursue love and the prophetic. If you don't love somebody, you can't really give them a prophetic word. You have no authority in someone's life. You know, so many people prophesy from a place of anger and bitterness, and then they prophesy judgment and destruction. Can I say to you, God's heart is not for judgment and destruction. Jesus didn't die for nothing. He didn't die so that everybody can go to hell in any case. It's not his heart. He's called us to prophesy life and redemption and freedom. That is the Father's heart. So that's one of the dangers of being wounded. So what some of us, you know, when you say you are in position A, this is where you are, and you get a word from God. God says, I'm going to take you to B. And you're like, yes, wow, awesome. So I am here, but God's going to take me there. Like, whoo, straight line, eh? Whoo, straight line, boom, yes, tomorrow I'm there. No, it looks more like this. You're at A, and then you go through a valley. You have to swim through a crocodile-infested river. And then the bees attack you. Then you have to climb over to massive mountains. Then a few lions attack you, hunt you down. And then you overcome. And then you go through the valley of the shadow of death. And then you come at B. Yes. Hallelujah. You see, God is more interested in our character than he is in our destination. So he takes you through all of those things. It's not a straight line, but you would never make it to point B unless it was for the promise of God. Do you have a word? Do you have a promise? Do you know what God is saying about you? Because all hell could break loose and everybody else could say the opposite. Do you have a word? Do you know who God says you are? So I was in student ministry around 12, 13 years ago, and I was in the office with another lady. Her name was Kathy, about a 30-year-old lady. She was diagnosed with cancer in the spine, and they gave her 6 months to live, just 6 months. So I'm like, okay, God, we're going to go for it for 6 months. We're going to pursue God. I know nothing about healing. I've seen one or two people healed previously, sort of. And I know, zip, but I was in the service the one Sunday, and I heard the voice of God in worship say to me, next Sunday, preach on healing. So I was the assistant pastor. I wasn't the senior pastor. I was stepping out. If you know me, I sort of risk. That's why I like Armour so much. He's a risker. He steps out. I miss our Skype calls. I really love Armour and Cornell, and I love Luke. You guys are awesome. I just love. Let's give them a hand. They awesome. They are awesome. And I see so much of myself in Armour because he's a. I'm gonna go for it. I'm gonna step out. And I said, I want to honor you for that, brother. He's got a pioneering spirit in his life. And I really believe this church is a fraction of what it's going to be in the future. God is going to bless you guys so much. He's going to grow this church so much. God is going to do so incredible things because I see that call on your life. Amen. So back to my story. So the Sunday service, I went and took the mic and I said, guys, next week Sunday, we're going to do a healing service. So bring sick people. I was just thinking, Kathy, I'm not thinking about maybe it's not, I'm just like, we've got 6 months, we're going to do it, we're going to trust Jesus because Jesus is the healer. Although I'm clueless, I know nothing about healing. So my leader wasn't very impressed with me because that we just didn't do that. You don't do healing services. So anyways, next Sunday, been fasting that week and seeking the face of God. Now Kathy came to the service. She was lying on a mattress at the back of the church. In such pain, she couldn't sit in a chair. I preached my heart out. And at the end of the service, they brought her forward. They had almost had to carry her forward, one person on each side, almost carrying her forward. Now I am praying. We are praying. The whole church is crying. It is so emotional because this is our friend. Now we're trusting Jesus to touch her. But nothing happened. She wasn't healed. So they sort of carried her back. Then I started to get words of knowledge. I started to call out people, and people were getting healed, and they were stepping out, and like knees were healed, and shoulders healed, and we're like, yeah, and I'm like, the start of my international healing ministry. Woohoo! We tend to run ahead. 2 days later, the senior pastor phoned me and said, Kathy's dead. Rocked my world. It rocked my world. So much shame, so much guilt. Some of the people that were healed said, no, the pain came back. I had to apologize to a whole bunch of people. Forgive me. I remember the funeral. I was hiding away at the back. I felt so ashamed, just stuffed up, and the devil just jumped in. The voice of the enemy, the voice of the enemy, the voice of the enemy. You're nobody. You're a nothing. Who do you think you are? You're a failure. So the devil climbed on my case, and then my leader started to climb on my case. So I made a previous mistake about a year ago. Also, I missed the Lord when I was risking something, stepping out. So I was called in to a meeting with the senior leaders, and they said to me, Andre, you don't have an anointing for ministry. You can only do admin. No disrespect to any administration people here. But you can only do admin. So, rock my world. So I was demoted from being student pastor. I was in the ministry for 5 years. And I thought there was good fruit in my life, but my leaders didn't see any good fruit. So I was moved back to our head office. I became Heinrich Titus's Bible School Registrar Admin Assistant. I have a master's degree in engineering. It was quite difficult. It was very humbling. I was depressed for at least 6 months. Absolutely in the gutter depressed. And so I was driving from Bellville area to Stellenbosch. And as I was driving to our head office, I heard the voice of God say to me, resign. You're not being celebrated here. Resign. Go work. And I think that makes sense. A week later, I was praying with another friend of mine, and then the voice of God said to me, that wasn't my voice. You are offended. Humble yourself and serve. So I humbled myself and I served. I made the decision, if I never lead a church, if I never are in the like full-time ministry in the sense of preaching and ministry, that's fine. I want to be part of something that's beautiful and show for something beautiful. Lives are being changed. So I'm going to humble myself and I'm going to serve. Amazing time. So me and Heinrich, both of us went through a very, very difficult season of our lives. We wept together often, cried together, prayed together. It was an amazing time. But in that time, we decided we are going to be different. So we would go around head office, high-fiving people. Has anybody told you today that you are awesome? No? Well, we're saying you are awesome. So we went around just encouraging people. In the midst of our stuff, in the midst of our confusion, I was like this little boat on the ocean, clueless. I didn't know where I'm going, what I'm doing, who I am. I was lost. But one thing I knew, I'll never turn away from Jesus. I love him. He's my everything. And so Heinrich and I would go around and encouraging people. And I discovered that the prophetic at its heart is encouragement. If you want to train to be powerfully prophetic, learn to encourage people. You see, the prophetic, the true prophetic, is encouragement on steroids, heavenly steroids. It just lifts people up. It transforms. It releases people into the will of God. Prophetic is encouragement. So I want to read this verse. 1 Corinthians 14:3. The amazing thing is, at that time, it took me, after that healing service, I didn't pray for a sick person again for 6 years. 6 years before I had the guts again in a service to pray for a sick person. You see, sometimes people hear the stories, they hear, you know, that there are these miracles that's happened and these things that's happened, but people don't always realize the price that was paid on the journey. You know, when you read the books of all the awesome stories of some guy, we don't realize the price that was paid in the process to that word. Okay, so 1 Corinthians 14 verse 3. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening. There you get encouragement and comfort. So Sonic and I, we went to, about a year and a half later. So I've been in the office there now for about a year and a half. It was 6 months before we went to East London to plant the church in East London. And I didn't know about the plant yet. So now we come to a holiday here in the wilderness area. Had a good week. Now we're driving back to Cape Town. As we're driving, the next moment, Sonic and I have this culture of worshiping and prayer. So we'd pray together, we'd often worship together in the car. I'm not sure if we were worshiping at this time, but at one point, the presence of God floods the car. Like, so much that I started to weep. I can't see where I'm driving. And I hear the voice of God say to me, I'm going to transform you. Very soon, I'm going to transform you. You won't even recognize yourselves. The opportunity came to go to East London. And it's absolutely true. God has completely transformed us. Completely transformed us. But the word of God kickstarts a process. The prophetic word releases grace into our lives. The prophetic word is God going into the future saying, seeing, hey, transform. Now he's coming back and saying, I'm going to transform you. And it releases grace and that process begins to happen. Amen. The prophetic word causes that to be. And the prophetic word is strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. It is encouragement on steroids. A good test of a prophecy is, does it encourage you? Or does it break you down, condemn you? Does it add just more guilt? The voice of the Father will always bring freedom. Do you have a word? So I want to give you a few examples of words the Lord gave me to stir you, to encourage you. A few around destiny and a few around identity. So the one around destiny, around 5 years ago, I went to another church, a very prophetic church, and I was exposed to a level of the prophetic that I've never experienced before. A group of people praying for us, for me, and it absolutely rocked my world. I walked out there again. It was just moving. I was so touched. Wrote it down. And one of the words that came was the following. The full fivefold ministry rests upon your life. The full fivefold ministry. So that started to speak to me. I started to study the scriptures about the fivefold ministry. And I started to preach about it. And a whole message developed, in which I put in this book, Increasing Heaven's Flow, in 40 days. I believe the key for the bride of Christ, for church, is to build the church around the fivefold ministry. I believe there are five rivers of life flowing: apostolic flow, prophetic flow, pastoral flow, teaching flow, and evangelistic flow. And if we build the church around that, I believe revival will break out. But I had to respond. I received the word, then I had to respond to the word. Now I started to pursue understanding around the fivefold ministry. If you want to get some of the books, I have some in the foyer. It's 80 rand a book. If you want to get that. So another word that came, end of 2012, we saw four people healed. My wife was one of the four that was healed. At the end of 2012, we were in a meeting with our leaders, and the Lord spoke to me and said, an outpouring of healing is coming. Trust me for this. And then we went to India. We knew nothing about healing, but all I said to the guys was, guys, we want to pray for the sick. And God started to move. 100 people healed in 2013 and so more. Then I was in Argentina. Guys asked me, have you written a book about the stuff you're sharing? And I was like, no, I haven't written a book. Then I went to a national council meeting of Shofar with, 12 of us guys sitting around the table. The next moment, there's a prophetic word that comes forth that says, some of you guys are going to be writing books in the next year that will impact the global body of Christ. And I was like, I need to write a book. And there the word comes. Some of you need to write a book in the next year. So end of that year, October, November, the Spirit of God comes upon me and I just started to write this book within basically a month. The Lord spoke to me. I was the only one that wrote the book in the next year. The only one. He said, some of you are going to write the book that's going to the global body of Christ. And it's just been amazing. I mean, the Lord is blessing the book. It's been translated into Portuguese. It's been going to Australia and to Zambia and to obviously wherever Shofar churches are at. But I just realized again, the Lord spoke, but then I had to respond. I had to step out. Destiny. Do you have words concerning your destiny? Do you have words concerning where God wants to take you? Then a few identity words. I'm just sharing out of my life to stir you. So I've always had a heart for praying for people, trusting that God would save people, but I'd never felt like I was an evangelist. And so just before we went to India, the one time I received the prophetic word, I felt just God say to me, you are a healing evangelist. Again, we have seen only 4 people healed in 2012. That's before 1,000 plus later. But I took the word. I said, God, you see me. And as you see me, I'm going to walk out according to how you see me. I guarantee you 95% of us in this room have no idea who we are until the prophetic word comes. Who are you in Christ? Who are you? And I'm still growing in this, but I'm seeing more and more of this fruit in my life. Then another moment where the Lord spoke to me, like the Father heart of God spoke to me. I was at Convergence 2 years ago. So there was like 1,500 people, I understand, in that region of people in the auditorium. I wasn't even speaking at the thing. I was just facilitating one of the sessions. So now I'm standing on stage and I hear the voice of the Father say to me, Andre, look. Look at the people. Look. So I'm looking. I heard the voice of the Father say to me, this is a small crowd compared to where I'm taking you. I'm like, Lord, that sounds awesome. 9 months later, we're doing a revival conference in Brazil at a church of 6,000 people. 400 people physically healed, 150 people within the services come to salvation. Incredible miracles happening. People healed of Parkinson's disease, blind eyes opening, deaf ears opening. I mean, the one evening there was a lady and we were praying, we were equipping them to pray for the sick. And so some of the local pastors were praying for this lady and she came forward and we're wanting testimonies. And she says, well, she's only been able to see a blur for 10 years, And they prayed for her and she said, I think I can see a little bit better. And I was like, no, man, that's not an awesome testimony. So I said, no, I'm going to pray for you again. So I put my hand on her head and I prayed, Father, in the name of Jesus, I release your power, your healing power over her. Be healed in Jesus' name. The power of God hits her like a wave, an invisible wave. A wave hits her. She falls to the ground. I stand over her and I say, in the name of Jesus, see. She opens her eyes and she sees perfectly after 10 years. I think you give Jesus a hand for that. That is awesome. Jesus heals. It's got nothing to do with me. It's got everything to do with the glory of Jesus Christ. Everything that I am, everything that God has done in my life is the grace of God. I want to stir you. The Lord wants to take an ordinary person like me and do extraordinary things. And so he wants to take an ordinary person like you and do extraordinary things through you. In Jesus' name. So we were connected to this church family in Brazil. And the apostle Aries, the leader of the church family, we had back-to-back service at this church of 6,000 people the Sunday night. And after one of the services, we came to the sort of resting area where you can just snack in between the service or something. And then the apostle said to me, the next church we're going to is the church of 60,000 people. 60,000 people. I'm like, Lord Jesus, let's bring it on. So we want to go back to Brazil, and we're trusting for that. We're trusting that God's gonna have what he wants to have. I'm a nobody, but he is glorious. What would be possible for a man or a woman completely surrendered to Christ? What would be possible? All things are possible. All things are possible through our God. You have no idea who you are until the veil is lifted, until the prophetic word comes. I mean, Smith Wigglesworth was like 45, 46 years old before he started to walk in his call. So you're never too old either. The next 40 years, Smith ministered and wrote books that's still changing the world almost 100 years later. It's never too late. Come on, let's say it's never too late. God is ready to move. So the prophetic word anchors us. You know, it's like David and Goliath. David had a word. He's going to be the king. When he faced Goliath, he wasn't the king yet. So it was simple. Goliath, I'm going to kill you today because I'm not king yet. The prophetic word takes care of my future. If you have a word for 10 years from now, that means you have a future. That means that the next 10 years is done. It's sorted. God has made a way. The prophetic word is powerful. It leads us when we're going through that valley of the shadow of death and the lions chasing us and the persecution and the this and the that. It anchors us. I've experienced so much opposition. So much opposition. It's amazing. Demonically, from people, from circumstances. Do you know what I've learned? My pain is my friend. It takes me deeper into God. It's the key to my breakthrough. Every bit of pain, persecution, issues, it's my stepping stone. It's my stepping stone. I won't get bitter. I'm only going to get better in Christ. Amen. I've said it with our pastor summit. You know, God needs to wound a man deeply before he can use him greatly. God needs to wound a man deeply before he can use him greatly. It's not people, it's God allowing. I made this crazy error as a student. Second, third year student, I think it was maybe 1998, 9, around there. It's like the Lord revealed to me my own heart, and I realized God can never use me with such a stuffed up heart. So I prayed the scary prayer, Lord, break me so you can use me. He listens to that prayer. He listens to that prayer. But it's amazing. It's amazing when we get over ourselves and we can just give him glory. He is my everything. I want to give him all the glory. Hallelujah. Do you have a word? We're going to trust this morning that the Lord will release words over us. Look at this, Revelation 1:19, ending off. Write the things which you've seen and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. So John the apostle is brought into heaven, and then the Lord reveals to him, write the things which you've seen, the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. And the things which are, most of us are not seeing which really is already in the heavenlies. So the prophetic reveals to us what God is seeing, and that which will be. So at the end of 2015, I don't know if many of you know this, obviously most of you should know this, but we've had a change in leadership in Shofar. So in October 2015, the Lord speaks to me, and he says to me, oh, let me backtrack a little bit. I saw a vision of heavy rain clouds coming in this encounter I had with God, heavy rain clouds. And the background is that The original call on shofar is on Pastor Fred, the founder of shofar. The original call was, the heavy rains are coming. This is the mantle on shofar. This is our call. The heavy rain speaks of the Spirit of God, the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our midst. That's the original call. So in this vision, I saw the heavy rain clouds coming, and I heard the voice of God say to me, basically, Pastor Fred's going to step down as leader of shofar. And then I heard the voice of God say to me, I'm going to take this mantle, I'm going to hand it over to the next generation of pastors and leaders. And then I heard the voice of God say, now you lead. That's what I heard. It was Thursday night. Friday night, Pastor Sias, he's one of the evangelists in the Shofar church family. They come and minister at Shofar East London. And he says to me, on the Thursday night, that same night, I had this vision. I had this encounter. He saw a vision of our church, Shofar East London, with like a house, but with the ceiling almost caving in with all the heavy rains on the ceiling. And it's just about to break through. What a confirmation. Around April last year, a prophetic word comes from one of our ladies in Johannesburg, and she comes to Heinrich Titus, my friend that we were together in that office 10 years ago, came a word to him and said, Heinrich, you're going to be the next leader of shofar. None of us knew about this. February this year, Pastor Fred stepped down. February this year, new leaders were appointed. Heinrich was appointed the senior leader of shofar, and I was appointed as his sidekick. Yes. But I stand amazed because I see God all along saw it, planned it. He's never caught off guard. The word has gone forth. How funny for me, Heinrich and me 10 years ago in our little office, broken, nobodies, clueless, but going around and encouraging and loving people. I have discovered that I think God likes people that encourages others. And He likes people who loves others. You know, I'm just trying to, as I shared this message in March this year, I was looking back at my life and I'm seeing my valleys, my tears, my brokenness, my stuff up and down. And I'm seeing God was in control the whole time. But I had to listen to Him. I had to obey Him. I see this often happens. A Christian goes through a difficult season and they walk away from their calling. They get bitter and they walk away. When God is like, no man, I want to build my heart into you now. I want to teach you how to forgive. I want to teach you what it means, just to give you a little taste of what it might have felt like to hang on the cross and say, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. How many opportunities we miss to learn, to grow, to develop the necessary character so that God can trust us with a greater responsibility and a greater influence. And this is the good news. If you failed the test, you have the privilege of taking the test again and again and again until you pass it. Say amen. Hallelujah. Last verse I just want to read, and then we're going to pray for people. 2 Peter 1:19, it says, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Isn't that amazing? Until the prophetic word, like a light that shines in a dark place, when you don't know who you are, when you don't know where you're supposed to be going, a light that shines so powerful until the day dawns and the morning star rises in our hearts. That is Christ Jesus rising in our hearts. That is Jesus being built into us. The prophetic word is a light. I want to say to you, and this is the words that came out this week in our pastor's summit, that God is not done with shofar. That we are just scratching the surface. We have 50 churches now, but we believe it's going to be 500 and more in the future. We believe God has called us to impact nations, and Jesus will get the glory for it, not a man, not any man, because it's only God that can bring us through things like this. Our God is good, and He is powerful. He's ready to move. He's ready to shake cities and nations. That is who He is. I was at Swakopmund. Now I'm going to... just two stories and we're going to pray for people. Just to stir your faith. I found that if you want to do business with man, you need money. With God, you need faith. You need faith. If you believe, you will receive. If you doubt, you'll go without. If you believe, you will receive. So I'm sharing these stories to stir your faith. So this one lady, it was Swakopmund, she was working in the office at Swakopmund. And so I preached about healing. I shared about healing. It's a school of the supernatural. So I shared the theology about physical healing. I shared that it's always the will of God to heal. Look at Jesus. He healed everybody that came to Him. Everybody. That is God's ultimate will for us. We must just position ourselves in a place where the life of Christ can flow through us. So I was sharing this and said, okay guys, now we're going to demonstrate it. We're not just going to talk about it. We're going to demonstrate it. So he said, okay, I'm feeling like back, neck, shoulders, come forward. These two ladies, a bunch of others come forward, but these two ladies specifically. I said, guys, we're going to demonstrate to you now that Jesus heals. And you could feel it in the atmosphere. Everyone was like, what if it doesn't work? So now we're praying for these two ladies, and the one specific was so beautiful. She was in primary, she's in her 40s, and she was in primary school, and she had a full quad bike accident. So she's had now for 25 plus years significant back problems and back pain, multiple operations, continuous pain, can't even turn around in bed at night, just continuous pain, pain in the moment, or others as well. But it was so beautiful, so I prayed for her, and nothing happened. Hallelujah. Teaching moment. And they said, now we're going to pray again. Prayed again. Then the pain levels went from 8 or 9 out of 10 to around 4. Like, thank you, Holy Spirit, you're working. Prayed the third time. All the pain disappeared. And she started to weep and weep and weep. Completely healed. Weeks later, still completely healed. Hallelujah. Our God is good. So the next day in the Sunday service, there was a man with terminal cancer. May I just say, I hate cancer. I hate cancer. So terminal cancer, they say he's not going to make the end of October, or 67% chance of making the end of October. And his name is Paul. And they called me to pray with him, prayed for the man. He has no feeling in his hands or his feet because all the chemotherapy and everything has gone to no feeling in his hands or feet. So we pray for him. The next moment, the power of God hits him. Like again, like a wave, an invisible wave, like just, he falls forward, like we have to grab him before he hits his face on the floor, and he's like, he's a mess. So we just lay him out flat, and we start to pray, put my hands on his chest, and we start to pray for him, and it's just incredible. I don't know if I've ever experienced anything like it, but just like you feel like a, just like a presence of God, like a heavy, heavy presence of God, releasing healing, speaking to the cancer, commanding it to leave. He shares about 15, 20 minutes later or later, he shares like he felt like the heavens opened over him, like a light opening up over him. Then he felt like waves of God's presence flowing up and down his body. When he got up, he had the feeling back in his hands and his feet. And we're still waiting to hear the rest. But what if God would give us the grace to see cancers leave? What if this church would be known for, if you have got cancer, go to that church. Jesus will heal you there. Will this city be transformed? Yes, it will. Absolutely. So that's my prayer. We've seen now twice cancers, terminal cancer in the one, terminal cancer disappearing, like gone in a moment, completely healed. I'm trusting for Paul that I'm going to get good feedback in the next month or two that cancer is going to be gone. Jesus heals. Jesus heals. We must just position ourselves in a place where He can manifest his glory. Amen. Please stand with me.